leading and perception. Our Father, we thank you for our time like this. Thank you for how you've been teaching us your word. As we look into your word today, we have insight as regards the leading of the Spirit. We know how to recognize and follow that leading as we have taught your word. Much more clarity comes to our mind. The light shines in our heart and in our minds concerning your leading. And in our daily dealings, we are intelligent on how to walk, follow the leadings of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Matthew 28 and verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, that's the word power, is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am is with you always, unto even unto the ends of the world. Hallelujah. Mark 16:15. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they shall drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So quickly, we said, this is Jesus' closing remark within the 40 days. And Matthew summarized it as, go make disciples. Hallelujah. Matthew summarized it as, go make disciples. Mark will say, preach the gospel. So we said, Mark will focus on the entry into discipleship. Right? And we said, that will be God's plan. God's plan for the earth. God's plan is to have all men saved, 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. 2 to 4, it says, have all men saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. So that's God's plan. Men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So when Jesus gives this instruction, it will mean that God's plan will be fulfilled by men, believers, right? Hallelujah. We said that the believer is responsible for bringing God's plan to pass. Yes. And you know, when Jesus was giving out this instruction, we said he was reading from Matthew, Genesis down to Malachi, right? There was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Corinthians, Acts, Romans, Colossians. There was, those scriptures were not in existence. So what Jesus was reading from was from Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. That's where Jesus was reading from. So if that is where Jesus was reading from, that means these instructions of Jesus will be the instructions of the 39 books read together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Genesis to Malachi. And what will be in that instruction? That God's plan for the earth to be carried out through men. Hallelujah. Through men. Look at Genesis 1. God's plan is the heaven in the earth. Like we looked at that. Heaven in the earth. God's plan will be heaven in the earth. Verse 3, let there be light. That is, I am light. Do you see that? So God's plan will be his light in all the earth, in all the hearts of men. Do you see that? Right? Hallelujah. And how will that happen? He said, let's make man in our image. So man in our image will be God's plan too, right? God's plan, man in our image, in our likeness. Hallelujah. Right? Man in our image. So it will be God's plan. And he then tells that man, gives that man an instruction in verse 28. You see, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. You see that? Be fruitful, multiply. He said, replenish the earth and subdue it. You see that? So, you see, so that will be God's instruction to man. But that means from the Genesis, the God's instruction or God's plan will be carried out through man. And it will be an instruction, like Jesus has said, right? Hallelujah. And who will carry out that instruction? The man that is in his image. Genesis 1:26. So the man in his image is the man who is born again. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, very important. Just like we look at the children of Israel, God said in Exodus 6:6, He said, I will redeem you with an outstretched hand. Just like God said, I will redeem you. And how will God do that? God will carry out that plan through who? Through Moses. This is that it was Moses that was saw doing that, but God said, I will redeem you. So it was God that redeemed them through the hands of Moses. Hallelujah. So God will always require the instrumentality of men. Do you understand? God will always use the instrumentality of men. Men, very important. Never lose sight of that. Hallelujah. Or put through the agency of man. And what will be that agency? The God will be that tax to get men saved and to bring them to the knowledge of the truth, right? Hallelujah. That's what we're looking at since. Now, Paul will say the same thing in Ephesians 4 from verse 11. He says, and he gave some apostles, some evangelists, he said, and some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, right? He said, that's the word charatismos, for the perfecting, which is, for the perfecting of the saints, he said, for the work of the ministry. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, say for the edifying of the body of Christ. Did you see that? Say till we all come. Do you see that? Till we all come. Now, till we all come doesn't mean there is a point we would all. No, he's not talking about. I used to have a friend there who was part of ministry then. He would say, ah, there's the unity of faith. There's a unity of faith. No, it's not the place. Do you understand me? You say till we come to the unity of faith. Did you see that? The unity of faith, he calls it the knowledge of the Son of God. But the unity of faith is the knowledge of the Son of God. Did you see that? So knowledge is important in Christianity. Do you understand that? All men say that come to the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge is important in Christianity. Very, very important. Hope you're following me. Okay, knowledge is important. Sorry. I forgot to switch off my phone. In Christianity. Look at something else in 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter will say something. 2 Peter 3, verses 18. Look at what Peter said. Peter will say, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see that? It says, so just being born again is good, but that is not where God wants you to be. I hope you're following me. God wants you to grow. Hopefully, in years to come, right? And yeah, for the time I told us, yeah, in years to come, we hope to write on a book on about this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Word of God. Very important. What next, or what is it after being saved? Hallelujah. To grow in grace. Grow in grace. Kenny Hagin Jr. have said the same thing too. He said in his book, right, of what next after being born again. I have also what next after salvation by Pastor Shego Noinka. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just something just, you know, very important. Well, you know, what next? Some people say, some people believe once they get saved is now we're now going to heaven. We're now planning to live a good life now can reach heaven. But what next after being saved is to grow in knowledge. Do you see that? Knowledge is important. Hallelujah. So Peter would say, grow in grace. And he calls that grace. So he calls it the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Very important. Go to God. So coming to the knowledge of the truth. Coming to the knowledge of the truth is very important in Christianity. That is, growing in grace, knowledge, coming to know more about God. And this can only take place under the umbrella of the local church. You know, I hope to get to talk more about this as the time goes on. Hallelujah. The local church. The local church is God's design. The local church is God's design. So this is why when you read Matthew 28:20, a local church is in the background, is intended. When it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Did you see that? When it says, go make disciples, What is intended rather is what? A local gathering, a gathering of believers. Hallelujah, because the word disciples is has in the background a school, a citadel of learning. So that means there will be a gathering, right? Which will be the local church. And what will be taught will be concerning what he has commanded. Lo, I am with you always, right? Now we looked at that word, lo, I am with you always. We said that will be concerning God's ever abiding presence with the believer. That is the indwelling. John 14:16. I will not leave you orphans. I will pray the Father and give you another comforter that he may abide with you. Say, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because he never sees him nor knows him, but you know him, shall dwell in you and be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. John 14:16-18. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, right? It says, they are the sons of God. That is talking about the indwelling also. Talking about the new birth. Talking about the Holy Ghost in us. Hallelujah. So the indwelling is called a go, a leading, or is the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Is the leading of the Spirit, the indwelling. So the word a go, the word a go makes you know that when you hear the word ago, it brings to you the background. That is, that word ago, you'll find the word ago. The word ago, the background of that word ago is Exodus. Hallelujah, Exodus. So that means at the background of the new birth, which is the leading of the Spirit, is the Exodus. Did you see that? Is the Exodus. So God led them through the wilderness will be how God wants us to go through life, right? But that's what he's been saying. God wants us to go through life. And how does God want us to go through life? By his leading. Do you get me? A child of God must understand that fact. That's how God wants him to go through life, through his leading. And that leading, we are not in darkness about God's leading. Right? We say we are well learned. We are level led. The believer doesn't have a leading problem. If there's anything called a problem in the leading of the Spirit, it's recognizing and following it. And it has nothing to do with God. It has to do with me. What are you following me? It has to do with me. So, that's how God wants us to go through life or go through the earth. So, all through the wilderness, we say that what happened, they rejected God, right? Psalms 95. He calls it the day of provocation, right? Right? Calls it provocation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He said they tempted God. God was not pleased with them. Hebrews 4, that they hardened their hearts. Do you understand? They hardened their hearts to the leading of the Spirit. So that means they rejected God. That means God, first of all, something you must see is that God always leads us. Because even while they rejected God in the wilderness, God was still leading them. Did you see that? So God doesn't stop leading us. He always leads us. Even if we don't follow him, he is always present. His leading is always present. And it also shows that I can have the leading of the Spirit and not know. I might have the leading of the Spirit and not know it. Do you get me? I might not be able to recognize it, or I can recognize it and reject it. And we looked at Jonah, right? Jonah knew what God's leading was for him to go to Nineveh. And where did he go to? He sailed towards Tarshish. I hope you're following me. He sailed towards Tarshish. So that means I can know God's leading and reject it. Look at the children of Israel. Look at the children of Israel. In Numbers 13, when the spies came back, what did they do? They followed the majority. They knew what the leading of God is, but they rejected it for the majority. Hope you are following me. They rejected it for the testimony of the majority. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They followed, what I have in my notes, that they followed popularity vote, popularity poll. We said, when you see people all of a sudden start doing things in a particular way, like trend, right? As for a child of God, as a believer, you should not jump into trends. Okay, you shouldn't jump into trends. Rather, you should backtrack a bit and ask, is this God? The fact that everybody is doing it doesn't make it the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Doesn't make it the leading of the Spirit. So a very important note here is that a believer must know how to recognize God's leading. A believer must know how to recognize God's leading. It becomes very important for the believer's life, or for a believer, to be able to recognize what God's leading is. Hallelujah. Very important. Very important to recognize God's leading. Amen. Yes, I'm a bit cold. I have a lot to say. I'm just trying to manage myself so that I don't get tired. We'll have a whole lot to look at today. Hallelujah. I want to close a teaching that will have taken another 4 weeks. Amen. Okay, let's continue. So the fact that we said that the fact that everybody is doing something doesn't make it right, right? Yes, it doesn't make it right. Everybody, if I told you something last week, I said just take a look at scripture. Where you have several or everybody doing something, doesn't mean God is there. Is that most of the time you don't find God in there? Hallelujah. Most of the time you don't find God in there. Everybody's in it. Hallelujah. Were there not several people worshiping the golden calf? Right? They told Aaron, make for us a golden calf. Right? Everybody followed. Imagine you are there. These are our new gods. You know? Popularity vote. Everybody's doing it. Let me just join them. Look, a child of God. You are led from within. You are led by the Spirit of God. What are you following? You are led by the Spirit of God. Popularity was. 12 people went to spy. They came back. 10 had wrong reports. 2 had good reports. You know, some logical people say, let's follow the majority. You know, the majority have it. Most times, you just have to be careful. So be careful of trends. What are following me? Be careful of trends. You know, they can also be trained. Listen, you can also follow trends, even in how you listen. You know, sometimes you can just have there's a particular, even in as regards in the church, right? In the church, maybe around churches in a particular location or in a particular point, everybody just begin to emphasize on one thing. Yeah, let's also emphasize on it too. Do you get? Everybody begin to emphasize on one thing. Everybody, you know, it becomes a trend. But you know, as a child of God, you shouldn't be in a rush, right? Every church is not having basketball court. You know, that's what is trending. You know, let's have basketball court. Are you normal? Amen. Every church is not having nightclub, disco club for believers. Because you know, let's wine and dine. You know, right? You say it's mingle to tango. Believers mingling to tangling. So we have a club house. Every church is not having club and you not come and talk. So let's have club house. How? As far how did it happen? Right? How do we even think of it? Glory to God. So you must be careful. Be careful. Everybody is not invited. There was a time that in almost every church, everybody is not inviting. Not almost every church. I am wrong in that word. But there was a time that there was this trend of inviting, what do you call these people? Comedians to church. Comedians. There was a time it was rampant. Comedian is in this church. Comedian is a new church. Comedian are not having Christian names. Amen? Every Christian name. Yes, they are booking for Christ. How now? how is that happening? We are inviting comedians to church. Why are you inviting them to church? You know, let them just, you know, we can't be too serious all the time. It is just fine to come to church just to crack the jokes. What is man doing? When everybody is not doing it, you know, let's invite Adama Philemon for Christ. Let me just crack or some. Just took out some crack. How were you not thinking? Right? How? Glory to God. Hallelujah. How were you not thinking? So most times, when you see trends like that, be careful. Somebody might actually be a particular kind of message. Grace message, you know. Pastor, teach us grace. How? Don't tempt your pastor. Hallelujah. Amen. You're not just going to teach you what you have in God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't always get to follow the crowd. Amen. It's something I will see you emphasize during CRC. Don't get to that point where you begin to follow everybody. Everybody is doing less do it. See, everybody is doing TikTok. Which you are not doing TikTok. Your life is on TikTok. You know, it surprised me. Some people will put status online and we will check how many people read it. Are you normal? Something is influencing you. Hallelujah. Amen. Something is influencing you. How many people read this? How is that your business? Don't you know? I heard some people pay people to gather so that they can watch their status. What is your problem? Yeah. What is your problem? Sometimes I tell some things. If I blocked you, you can't see anything. So you might have blocked almost everybody in my corner. How many people want to see? Yeah. But I just assumed you. Hey. Amen. And I said, how can I increase my status to 2,000? I want to be hitting 7,000. So all right. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So most times it's not in a crowd. Don't always go for crowd. No. I'm not saying crowd is always wrong. I've not said that, right? But you know, when people then they when it seems to be a particular trend, as a believer, don't be in a rush to just adopt it. Do you get it? Don't be in a rush. Most times you discover that you are not even in a rush. Eh? You don't find God leading. You don't discover in the long run that what you are even in a rush to do is actually wrong. Just imagine immediately there was COVID period, everybody went started doing online church. Even if they started seeing online church, let's do online church. Because everybody rushed into it. Some people now don't know how to come out. They're having church online. No. I hope you have already. No. It's not proper. Glory to God. It's not proper. Now, they felt we will never come out of lockdown. We'll be locked down forever. Right? But we're not out of lockdown. Are we not out of lockdown? So don't be, you know. I had a dear man of God that is a friend of mine chatted me up and was saying, sir, you are supporting God. I said, why all these online choices, sir? Are you supporting the lockdown? It's demonic. He said, I'm just laughing. So if you know the word of God, you will not be saying this nonsense. Don't follow popularity votes. You are following me. Amen. Amen. And I'm not also saying when you are working in your office and everybody is going in a particular direction and I say no. I don't agree. You know, don't be stupid. Yeah? Don't be stupid. Glory to God. We are talking about the disease of the spirit. Yeah. Your management team is telling you, let's go like this. And I say, yes, sir, let's do it. And I say, no. That man, they are saying no, just be preparing to go home without faith. Right? That's not the sign. Yes. Then I don't follow the crowd. I follow the inward witness in your office. That is not your own. Don't follow. You will be followed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's always good you understand that. So what were we? Yeah.
So all through the wilderness, you say they rejected God, right?
Okay. So that means, because in all those times, God was still leading them, even if they rejected it. So that means God always leads us, even if we don't follow Him. Even if we don't follow His leading, eh? He's always there. That leading is always present. I hope you are following me. That leading is always present. It also shows that I can have the leading of the Spirit and not walk in it, right? Okay, we looked at all this, right? Okay. Okay. So it's very important as a believer, you know how to recognize God's leading. Hallelujah. You know how to recognize God's leading. Sometimes some people go for spectacular.
How? If I'm going, let something just work. I'm going like this. You have something in your mind. Then you want to know, you have something in your mind. Ah, should I go to Mafluku and say, okay, you know what? As I'm walking, if my leg hits stone, I will know it's God. You're not God, no man. Hallelujah. You can't be normal. Yeah. Some people are waiting for their hand to move. Say, ah, if I feel my hand moving like this, that means God is saying I should go. Or if my ear is doing crinkle, God is telling me to stay. No.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
No.
No. Amen. In fact, let's see 1 Kings 19.
We saw Elijah. Elijah was used to spectacular. But this time, it is discovered that he didn't find the answer of God in the spectacular.
Hallelujah. It says it was in the still small voice. Still small voice. Hallelujah. Look at it. It says, verses 11. He said, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break it in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still small voice. You see that? Hallelujah. So, the answer, it wasn't in the spectacular, but in the supernatural. Not in the spectacular, but in the supernatural. So the leading of God's Spirit is always supernatural. It's always supernatural. The reason why a believer must be intelligent when it comes to the leading. Leading. He or she mustn't be ignorant. So when he uses the word, take note of some things we said last time. And I want to just let you get them. There's nothing called heavenly voice, right? You know, as a child, there was this little belief that we had that it is this. I'm trying to remember that story. You see, I go heaven and I see God in a sea calabar. That's nonsense. Yeah? Hallelujah. No. Nothing called heavenly language or heavenly voice. No. When you use that word, a still small voice is the word call in the Hebrew. It's a word that is used for a familiar voice, a man's voice. So that means when it comes to the voice of God or voice of God, you will find it with known voices around. Yes, I mean, it will be similar to known voices. In fact, to be similar to the voice you hear always. Obviously, so to sound familiar. We looked at Samuel. God was calling Samuel. Samuel went to Eli. He asked to ask him, are you calling me? Did you get that? He went to Eli to make you know that it will be familiar voices. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you must note that. We also said angels are learners, are still learning, right? I don't know when it's time for them to graduate, but they are still learning. So, they are not perfect. But when it comes to perfection, they are perfect in strength, right? But in knowledge, they are mbao. Hallelujah. So, you must be careful how you handle the words of angels.
especially in scriptures,
be careful of how you use their words. It was an angel that said he will be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. How? How can you be full of the Holy Ghost in your mother's womb? Angels. In Acts of Apostles chapter 9, it was angels that say, as you see him go, you will see him come. How? How? Because they are not well learned. Hallelujah. So, very important. Look at John 12, verse 8. We're getting into the call of our teaching little by little. John 12, verse 8.
Verse 28. It says, Father, glorify them. Then came a sound from heaven saying, I will glorify it and I will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by heard it, is that, and said that it was thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. You see that? They say it was a thunder, an angel speak. No. So that means the people who heard were not believers. Were they believers? That means an unbeliever can hear the voice of God, can get information in the spirit. But just like these folks, an unbeliever cannot recognize it. Look at what they said. They say it was an angel. Did you see that? Hope you are following me. An unbeliever, they cannot recognize it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, because man is a spirit, so that means anybody can get information from the realm of the spirit. See, let me tell you, the realm of the spirit, the way it goes is a realm that is full of information. Hallelujah. So your spirit taps into information from the realms of the spirit. Hope you are following me. So an unbeliever can pick information from the realms of the spirit. Hope you are following me. An unbeliever can get information from the spirit. An unbeliever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that means because man is a spirit, man has the capacity, that's what I want to say, to receive information in the spirit. But the question is, can he recognize it emphatically? No. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 17, Mount of Transfiguration, Peter and John, right? Peter, James, and John, they heard the voice, right? What did they say? They will build a house for Elijah, right? We will build a house for Moses, and we will build a house for the Lord. Do you see that? Why did they say that? They didn't even understand what was happening. Glory to God. Because whatever conversation Jesus had, they heard Jesus was a conversation concerning what? His death. Did you see that? Hallelujah. But what they had, what they were thinking about, it would be the meaning they did not recognize the voice. What are following me? They did not. Even though they heard it, but they didn't recognize it. Why? They were not saved as at then. Hope you understand me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For Peter would now understand it in the resurrection. Look at what he now says in 2 Peter. Do you get that? Look at what he said. Let's look at that. Peter, quickly. 1 Peter 2. This 1 Peter 2, I'm coming. Second Peter, sorry. Second Peter 1:16. Therefore, we have not followed carnally devices to reveal better to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus, but we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. As he received from the Father honor and glory, when there came such a sound from the excellent glory, this is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah! And the voice which came down from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. Oh, you are following me. So they heard it. So Peter will not know what it was all about in the resurrection, right? But when he heard it, then they didn't know what it was. John the Baptist too heard, and he was not saved. Right? This is my beloved son in whom I am. Who heard it? John the Baptist. Was he saved when he heard it? No. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. In Acts of Apostles chapter 9, right? Paul also heard, but Paul too couldn't recognize. Paul heard. Paul. Saul, why persecutest thou me? He didn't know who was talking. That was the reason why he asked, who are you? Did you see that? Hallelujah. Who are thou? Because he didn't recognize it. So who are thou? He said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. That was really new. Hope you follow me. Say, who are thou? So same way too, an unbeliever can hear the voice of Satan. As he can hear the voice of God, he can also hear the voice of Satan. The same thing to a believer. Believers can hear the voice of Satan. Do you believe that? Can a believer hear the voice of Satan? Why? How? Can a believer hear the voice of Satan? I just said it, yes. And I said, how? Now we have an example in scriptures. In Matthew 4, we saw that Jesus was tempted by the devil, right? Right? And we said that temptation will be what? Jesus' earthly walk, right? All that happened to him in his earthly walk. So that means in his earthly walk, we'll find the words of Satan in the words of men. And Jesus will recognize it as the words of Satan. Do you get that? Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Look at Matthew 16. Peter. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. In as much as he was addressing discipleship with Peter, he also, for him to mention Satan, Satanos, he also brings in the personality that is behind what Peter said. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that means a believer can also hear the voice of Satan. But he will be able to recognize, he has the capacity to know if it is the voice of God or not. This is that the believer has the capacity to know. This is why Paul went right to the church of Corinth and said, concerning spirituals in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1, he says, now concerning spiritual, I do not want you to be ignorant. That means you cannot entertain to be ignorant, that is willfully ignorant when it comes to the things of the Spirit. The things of the Spirit requires intelligence. Requires what? Intelligence. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the word ignorant there is the word agnoio. 1 Corinthians 12:1 is the word agnoio. It's the word that is used for willful unbelief. That means, as a believer, I must not afford to be ignorant. And one way not to be ignorant is to know and to keep knowing. When you know and you keep knowing. You know and you keep knowing. Right, like Paul will not write to them, in fact, they would know. See, concerning spiritual gift, brethren, I wouldn't want you to be ignorant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12. It is now their diversity of gift for the same spirit. You see that? Now he went ahead to now start teaching them about the gift of the spirit. See, their diversity of gift, but they are the same spirit. Hallelujah. See, their diversity of operation, see, the same Lord that worketh all the gifts in all the members, in all the body. Did you see that? Hope you are following me. So that means the gifts have been worked in us. Glory to God. Has been worked in the believers. The believers have the gift of the Spirit. So that means the believers have the gift of the Spirit. If we get to verse 10, it tells us the gift. You began to list out the gift of the Spirit from verses 8, right? But when you get to verse 10, look at what it says, to another, the working of miracle, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. So that means we'll have that capacity to discern spirits. Remember, the gift of the Spirit are gifts of our spirit. They are abilities of our spirit. Abilities that are in our spirit. So if the ability we have in our spirit is the ability to discern to discern spirit, that means we'll have that capacity to discern spirit as believers. We have the capacity, I'm saying, begin to discern spirit as believers. Hope you are hearing me. To discern spirit. I remember years back, we're having a meeting and the brother was told to lead. And he said, I want to lead. They have asked him to lead. Come and lead us. Just lead us opening to start the meeting. Hallelujah. And what was he supposed to do? He was supposed to lead us via to pray. Right? That's how we had a ministry meeting there. Somebody would lead us in prayer. Once you're done leading us in prayer, you will now call on the next person to now lead us in the word. Do you understand? So this brother was to lead. So he was leading. I mean, sorry, for him to lead, he had to tell everybody, close your eyes. We close our eyes. We thought only the fellow to speak. We thought. And I was like, close your eyes, bad angels are passing. What nonsense is that? Hallelujah. The right answer. Now open your eyes. Good angels are about to pass. When he was about to say that, a friend of mine, so they just rebuked him. He said, come on, keep quiet. What nonsense is that? Get out of that place, though. Hey, we chased him out. Okay. What is bad angels passing? Amen. So we could quickly, you could figure out that this thing is bad angels, not of God. So chase him out. Hallelujah. Get out of here. He wants to bring fear to our midst. Amen. So we are there. Okay, calm down. Calm down. Don't study anything. Amen. But you know, very important. So I'm going to say some things about that when it comes to discerning of spirit. You know, this thing I said that. There's a side to it. So discerning of spirit is not fear. Amen. Amen. You are just like you are awake. There was light till 12 a.m. Once it was 12:02, they took like that. Fear comes. Ah, you can spirit around there. You're not well. You are never normal. Sorry, you are not normal. Okay, for lady. That is not what we are talking about. If not, we're going to get there. Hallelujah. Let me not jump. My book has been prepared in order for you to understand rather than jumping it. Glory to God. Okay. So, where were we? Yeah. So we said, in verse 10, we have the discernment of spirits, right? Now, the word discerning there is the word diakrisis. Diakrisis. Now, this is, it's talk about discernment of spirit. It depends on not just discerning what is right or wrong, like right and wrong thing. Do you understand? When I was teaching us on during the master course, I said that a bit concerning this, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, there's discernment where you discern what certain is teaching is right or wrong, right? But really, he's talking about the discerning of spirits. So to know between right and good spirits, good and bad spirits, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Discernment of spirit. The other one, just discerning what is good or right, almost good from what is right, right? You can place it from knowing the word, right? You know, when you get to know the word well, right? Knowledge of the word, you can discern that. This is what the guy is saying is not scripture, it's not right, right? But you're talking about discernment of spirit. That's what diakrisis, from two words, krisis and dia. Now, the word krisis is used for judgment, to know something, to know, right? The word dia means to cut across. So that means discernment of spirit means to cut across spirits, right? Discernment of spirit means to cut across spirits. Glory to God. To cut across spirit. So that implies that as a believer, I can cut across spirit. I have the capacity. Remember we say it's an ability in the spirit, an ability in our spirits, right? Right? That the gift of the spirit are abilities of the believer in the spirit. Right? Hallelujah. So that means I have the ability. I have the capacity to recognize spirit. This is not knowledge. That's what I was trying to say. It is just by the Spirit. It's just by the Spirit. You just know, this is not God. It's not God after all. Rara, it can't be God. The other than it's not God. You just know. You just know it's not God. Amen? And we have that capacity. We have that capacity. Glory to God. We have that capacity. But you know, it's just like, you know, when it comes to tongues, every believer has that capacity to speak in tongues. Right? 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 But does every believer speak in tongues?
Uh-huh.
Why? Because of what?
Knowledge.
Eh?
Knowledge.
You say endurance.
Knowledge.
Yeah, because of knowledge. Hallelujah. Knowledge. So that means, eh? Do you know that you can have people just sitting down here and you didn't tell them anything? And they are born again, they are saved, they just go and just lay here, da. You know, there's everything that they will all fall down. But there's everything that none of them will speak in tongues. Right? No, no, so you know, you just lay hands. I for the acting now. When we're laying, you know, you used to learn to lay hands. Your laying hands ministry. You know, if you don't tell them, when you're laying, everybody will just fall, everybody will just, amen. Stand up, everybody will stand up. Nobody, not even thing will speak in tongues. Hallelujah. But just imagine you are not teaching them about tongues. Tell them to speak to them about tongues. Let them know about tongues. Taught them well. This is what you have in your spirit, right? You know, most times when you see people come for meeting and we teach them about tongues and interpretation. Even people that are speaking in tongues and they say they are waiting for people to interpret for them. You know, when they come to meeting and they speak in tongues and they tell, and you are not teaching tongues and interpretation, right? And they speak in tongues. You know, you see them having that ability now, none at work, just to talk about what they've spoken in tongues, right? See them. Now, it might not be as perfect as you that have been speaking and interpreting for years, but you see that, I can't know what I'm speaking, though. Do you understand? I don't know what I'm saying in tongues. But where was it all this while? Is it that it came in the moment you laid hands on them? Well, no. They knew, or it has been there in them, right? But the laid on of hands just popped it out, right? But it came with knowledge. Hallelujah. Some of them, you might not need to even lay hands. Once you are done teaching, you say, no, walk in your own. Hallelujah. You might not even need to lay hands. You just say, walk in your own. And you know they all walked in their own. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I remember a time like that, we were done having a meeting. I just talked to this brother, talked him well about he's born again in faith. I just told him about tongues. Spoke to him about tongues, about tongues. I said, now, you know what? Speak in tongues. I again, those are just speaking in tongues. I didn't even need to lay hands. No laying on of hands. Just, I spoke about tongues. I let him know that this is what is his own. Amen. And then just began to, glory to God, just began to speak in tongues. So that means knowledge is important. Hallelujah. Knowledge is vital. Knowledge is vital. For you to now walk in it, you need to come to know that it is in you. Hallelujah. From the day you got saved. So that means from the day a man got saved, he has that capacity to discern spirit. But he might not be discerning. Why? Because he didn't know. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You know, some people, why they need to come to knowledge about tongues? Because some people have several wrong knowledge about tongues. The same way too, discerning of spirit. They are going to tell you what they know about discerning of spirit. The only thing they know want to discern is what evil spirit. That's all they know. So what they know about tongues is evil tongues. Ah, tongues of demons. They are tongues of demons. They don't even know any good thing about tongues. It's tongues of Satan. Ah, you saw these things, not tongues of Satan. Do you get it? They don't know anything about the tongues of the spirit. So that means you now have to teach them. So people also, you tell them, what do you know about the things of the spirit? It's only evil spirit they know. Only know all the evil things. They don't know anything about the things of the spirit. So you have to teach them. Hallelujah. In fact, some of you, some people, not some of you, some people ask them, what do you know about the things of the spirit? All they know is just tongues. What do you know about the things of the spirit? Oh, tongues. Just tongues and interpretation. Wow. What are that thing? No, just tongues. That's what they know. Exclusion. Hallelujah. But when you teach them for that, they know, oh, it's beyond that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, I follow you. You know, the things of the spirit even goes beyond the gifts of the spirit. Right? Right? I hope you know that. Right? But the gifts of the spirit are fundamental to the things of the spirit. But it's not all of it. Now, what they know about the things of the spirit is just the gifts of the spirit. Amen. For you know that the leading of the spirit is the things of the spirit too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, hope I'm talking to you. Amen. The inward witness is part of the things of the spirit. Amen. For you know, it is as you are taught, your eyes is open. Oh, these are it. Oh, this is it. This is it. Amen. Hope you know that also love. When talking about the things of the spirit, love is part of the things of the spirit. Hope you know that. Love is part of it. Yeah, I can I walk in the Spirit? I thought walking in the Spirit is just speaking in tongues. Showing kindness is walking in the Spirit. Amen. So how knowledge. Remember I said after we got that Christianity is a knowledge-based seat. Your walk is to the knowledge degree of your knowledge. You cannot walk outside your knowledge. Your Christian walk is to the degree of your knowledge. If you want to know how knowledgeable you are, I will see your Christian walk. Right? You know, oh, this is what this guy knows. Amen? Amen? In knowledge, you don't walk in the knowledge you don't know. Whether you've heard somebody tell you about it before, doesn't matter. It doesn't play anything. The moment you don't walk in it, you don't know it. You know, I'm going to teach us about in the coming months, maybe after Charis Camp and CRC. You know, I'm going to take us on spiritual growth. So, a knowledge you only know and you don't practice is not a knowledge. Okay, let me tell you the word know. A knowledge you have, or something you've come, or you've taught, or you've been taught, right? I know it. You don't know it until you begin to walk in it. So, if you're not walking in the light of it, you don't know it. Don't confuse it. You don't know it. You don't know it. I know about giving. I can teach you about giving. But do you give? No, you don't know giving. Do you know what I mean? So that becomes the highest point of knowledge or participating in what you come or what you've been taught. Hallelujah. Look at what Paul will say. He said that the communication of your faith will become effectual by the acknowledging. That's the word epignosis, right? Acknowledge of every good thing which is in you. Hallelujah. Epignosis, which is I'm using epignosis. I'm going to call. What is coming is just the definition of genosko. Well, not genosko. Epignosis, right? Full and accurate knowledge, right? Hallelujah. Accurate knowledge. Hallelujah. Accurate. So that means, and this is a guy, Philemon is a guy who is walking in love. He now wants him to extend that love to someone. He prays for him that he what communication of his faith. Hallelujah. So that means I can only walk to the degree of my knowledge. So when I am not seeing, when what I feel I know, I'm not walking in the light of it, in my Christian walk, in my daily walk, I don't know it. Hope you are following me. I don't know it. It's what I walk in the light of that I know. Amen. Amen. Is he not speaking tongues? I know every time I speak tongues. Do you speak in tongues? No, you don't know tongues. You don't know anything about it. But if you know, you have a knowledge about it, you speak in tongues much more. Hallelujah. There's no prayer. But you know, I don't pray too much. I just work with God. You don't know prayer, come here. If you know prayer, you will pray. If you know prayer, you will pray. Literally, you will pray. A believer is not praying, does not know prayer. You know, we're having prayer conference. And a prayer conference, 10 hours. You talk for 8 hours. Now let's pray for 2 hours. So we're all right. You don't know prayer, come. Hallelujah. Prayer conference. When you call it prayer conference, you will only teach for 30 minutes. You will pray for 9 hours, 30 minutes. That is prayer conference. Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So where are we now? Let's look at this before we take our first break. Amen. Hallelujah. So discernment of spirit. That's where we are. So we say we have the capacity to recognize spirit. Right? Uh-huh. And that capacity is by the Spirit. It's by the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, you can have somebody even talk to you and is accurate. As in, what he's telling you is scriptural. You are saying it's accurate, but you know, by the Holy Ghost, you can know this one is wrong. It's not the Spirit of God. That's not true. Hallelujah. Look at what Peter was saying concerning to Jesus. Was not wrong, you know. How can you be saved? You know, just to know that. You know, some people say he loved him. What a good disciple. Hope you know that. He could want to don't say that thing. How can he say you die? Most of them say, what a loving guy. He doesn't want his master to die. Right? Right? Don't you get it? Jesus is talking about his death and says, come here. He's not going to talk like that. How do you say you die? Don't talk that kind of thing. How do you say you die? Don't say that. Never so bad. Calm down. Don't talk like that now. Do not die. You know, sincerity, you can see that sincerity. You can be very sincere. Right? Very sincere. Amen. You can know by the living of. Look at, okay, we'll get to that in the second section. Look at Paul. Right? Paul knew in his spirit that God is sending him to Jerusalem. Imagine that. As soon as he says, I like you. You know, can be, some people can be sincere. They can bring in emotions. I said I'm dealing on that. But this is different from that of Peter, though. Hallelujah. Peter was, you know, you can call, you can see Peter, but you can be very sincere. And then, let me don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. How can you say you are going to Medjugorje to serve? How can you say that? Hey, man, so there. You get it. Don't say that. You know, by the Holy Ghost, you just know that. Pastor Tilano. Say your other. Pastor Tilano. You get it. Because you know. Right? You know. Glory to God. Glory to God. And Jesus told Peter, get it behind me, Satan. Automatically, that was discipleship, right? But in that discipleship, he addressed a personality that was not there. Satan. Satanos. Okay, he addressed a personality that is not there. Remember I told you, right? There is no word that is on the fence. See that you are, right? There's no sitting on the fence. There's no, I'm just. No, is it that you are speaking from the standpoint of this is God or the devil? Right? So there is a personality that influences that word and just says, it's a devil. You are the believer. Stay behind me. Get behind me. Hope you are following that. Glory to God. And when Jesus was to give that, when you have to see that in Matthew 4, you will see it where as Satan, Satanos, coming to Jesus and say what? Hope you are following. And Jesus said, get it behind me. So that was Peter. That temptation that Jesus is Peter. And who came to Jesus? Satan. What they are following? Amen. That was Peter. Glory to God. That was Peter. Amen. Amen. He doesn't want him to die. Sincere. But God will never say. Glory to God. Remember I told you that temptation was what Jesus went through in all his 33 years in ministry, right? That temptation, everything Jesus went through is summarized into those three temptations. Turn water, turn stone to bread. A pressure to do what you're not supposed to do. You find it in the temptation. Hallelujah. When they pressure you, the man shall not live by bread in it. Read it. That is just it. Hallelujah. So there was a force behind that word. Amen. So I tried as much as I can to take away that of Paul, because we see that in the second session. So that some people can be emotional. Some people can have emotions to their utterance. They know the Lord is sending you, you're going to, they now bring in emotion. They begin to cry. They will give you one of prophecy. Utterance. They will be bored. Now, Paul was able to know that was the Spirit of God telling him what will happen to him in Jerusalem. He says, I know that bonds are weak because God, I hope you're following me. Right? That the Spirit has informed him that there will be bonds. How that was behind the entrance. But you now see what? That was it though. But you now see emotions. You're not saying, Paul, there will be bonds, so you get trying to bring in fear, but Paul knew in the Spirit. And nevertheless, I go. Hope you follow me. Hallelujah. Acts 20, he said, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. And I go compared in the Spirit. It was compared. Beyond anything. So he knows that there will be bonds, but he's compelled to go. Hallelujah.
Some of these things, we'll look at it in the second session. So let me quickly round up so that we'll come with a second session quickly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means the believer will have the ability, right? Right? Uh-huh. So one thing you must know about the discernment of spirits, knowing spirits, is not the discernment of spirits is not a gift of suspicion or spirit. Not only we can say, suspicion. Like that brother. Demon, they are just suspicious. Right? How are they able to call it this? That somebody is suspicious. Come on, help me. Somebody is too. Sometimes we remember grammar. Suspicion, right? Suspicion of spirit. We are too suspicious. I can smell spirit in my nose. I know where. I can smell evil spirits. There is this odor. Odor of evil spirits. Just being unnecessarily suspicious. I know that suspicion can also come from too much movies you are watching. Too much in Hollywood. Right? Just see breeze, evil spirit is passing. So we can be so suspicious that when you repeat quiet, angels just pass. How do you know quiet was quiet? Angels just pass. Have you not heard that before? Superstitious is not a spirit of suspicion, it's not a spirit of superstitiousness. Hallelujah. The sanctity of spirit is not suspicion. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. It is from within. You just know it's not God. You just know that this is not just God. And that those words or the word or that whatever thing that happened might be morally correct. Do you get it? It can be morally correct, but it's not God. You just know from within it's not God. Bah. Amen. Look at Jesus and Peter. You know, he can be morally right. He would love his father, but it is demon. Hallelujah. You just know from within it's not God. Amen. You just know it's not God. And if not God, it's not easy to say, this is there. I'm not telling you to go ahead and tell people, what you say is there, but you know, you can just know. Now that knowing is just for you. It's not for you to now go on Twitter. You just told me something that I knew it was from the devil. Are you normal? Amen. It's just for you to know that this is not God's leading. This one is not God. Hallelujah. And they sort it out. You just know, right? Hallelujah! Uh-huh. Don't live your life for social media. Pastor Fegu posted a video yesterday about a guy that wanted to propose. And he took the lady to propose. The lady was so happy. So when he brought out the ring, there's no Instagram, no Facebook, nobody. He just wanted to propose inside. How? Your life is not social media. So you got like that. Every single bit of your life is social media. Now in Cairo, just got into the airport. Your life. Some people, you want to know how to catch them, go to social media. You will know where they are. Everything social media. God will help you. Amen. 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 Let's continue. So, Pastor Shogun said, the things of the spirit require intelligent explanation, right? Yeah, okay, you don't know, so let me just tell you. He said, the things of the spirit require intelligent explanation and consistency over time. So, you know, when it comes to the assignment of it, just like in tongues, you know, you are taught to you to now start speaking, right? Even also, also the interpretation of tongues, you know, but you know, you need to grow even in that, you need consistency over time, consistent practice, consistent tongues interpretation, right? That the first time you give interpretation of your tongues, it was one. I don't even know calling him was somebody now. You know, the first time, first was told to come and he interpret his tongues. He spoke in tongues for like 5 minutes. I interpret, he said, light. The Lord said, yeah, yeah. Some people say, the Lord said light. Well, I don't know what I said. Okay, what came to my spirit? I will not call his name. Oh, yeah, he's not even here. What came to my spirit that I saw? What came to my spirit? Is everything be okay? I was just laughing. You know? That was. But now, the last time we had a believers meeting, I personally listened to the person's interpretation and you would grow, and yeah. I was like, how did you get to that point? Consistent practice, right? Right? Just put it on and say, now it's not even, the signals are very high, right? And you will grow, you will mount, you know? It's now accurate, let me know the word accurate, it's now Oshafrafra. But then it was, what came to my mind? What came to my mind? Tongue says the Lord. Some people even did tongue says the Lord. Tongues and interpretation, tongue says the Lord. I remember the first time I was so, I said, tongue says the Lord. No man. Hallelujah. Well, now you're not saying tongue says the Lord now. You're not saying, No. And the whole world is just slow. Right? Just speaking tongues, I just do the work. I am not here to shine for those who are just starting. So in your own little or in your cell group where you are not giving tongues and interpretation, somebody is now coming and there is light. I'm just hearing light. And you're saying, no, brother, see, you need to get the signal away. Okay, just listen to me. Yeah, you're speaking to you. Is there somebody in your house called? I said, yes. Is he working? He said, yeah. You are not showing efficiency. You see where I mean? I just know. Come on. You will understand you're like him. Hallelujah. So I love you. He will get to where you are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's just it. Not going to superstition. But you see the way you grew. Also, when it comes to discernment of spirit, too. Amen. So consistency over time. Teaching. Consistency over time. Hallelujah. Consistency over time. Consistent practice. Hallelujah. Over time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 1:9-10. Acts 1:9-10. They had a supernatural sight of angels and they knew it was angels. Right? In Acts 2, they didn't need to do anything to make them hear or see. Acts 2, right? Look at the experience, right? Right? Acts 5, look at Ananias, Sapphira, and Peter. Right? Peter just knew that they were lying. he just knew that verse 9, Acts 5, I'm just trying to rush because of time. That will go. I told you to read that. Acts 5, 9, that was Sapphira, after the wife was, when she was speaking, Peter just knew that he was able to discern immediately. See, leave the other experience that happened there. See, who killed Sapphira and Ananias? Was he God? Was he devil? Do you want to lie? Abby? Do you want to lie? So why are you looking at who killed? Was it Peter? Was he God? Was he Satan? Do you want to tell a lie? Tell a lie. Right? I will give an example that which you should not lie. So don't lie. Amen. Amen. Leave the other story for now. Leave the other story. It's not for us now. Hallelujah. But when I can explain it like twice before. Hallelujah. But you do one life. So maybe you know one life. So leave that story. Glory to God. But the major thing is that Peter was able to know that it was a lie. And he said, why do you lie against the Holy Ghost? Did you see that? They didn't come to tell him, they just came and said, I know what they see. The discernment of spirit doesn't even work with a prior notice. No, somebody has told you, see this guy, I saw him no shooting. Yeah, I saw him no shooting by 2 a.m. I saw him around 2 p.m. no shooting. Now the person shows up and says, as of yesterday by 2 p.m., I was in Makurdi. So I say, you lie against the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost told me you are lying. The Holy Ghost did not tell you. You had information that he was in no shoot. And he was telling you. I hope you're understanding me.
Yeah? It was not like Paul. I mean, Peter had clear information that he sold everything. Do you understand? Because, no, but when he was talking, he just knew. It was not an information he got before. He just knew from within, this guy is lying. So how do you lie against the Holy Ghost? And before he had clear information and that. Sure you understand? He just knew. He didn't need to see anything before time. He just knew they are lying against the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So you want to lie. Right, you're asking, why did they die? Right, why did they die? Is there any justification from the you know, especially the people that will lie around those grace, they want to see grace in everything. When they get to Acts 2, they cannot find grace. I mean Acts 5. Show me the grace. Calm down. I want to see grace in everything. Are you here? Let's look at this job. Act 8. Look at Act 8, 26. When Philip heard, he knew it was an angel. Can you understand? Are you in Act 8, 26? Philip knew straight up that this was an angel. Amen. Act 26. And an angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, say, arise, go down to the side. He knew it was an angel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, I follow you. He knew it was an angel. And when he heard the voice of God, he knew it was God. Do you understand? The discernment of spirit. He could know this is God, this is angel, this is the devil. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. How do you know? You just know by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Look at Acts 9 verse 10. Ananias knew who spoke to him was God. 9:10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said, the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And he said to him, arise, go into the street, go straight. Hallelujah. Ananias knew that he was God. So, from what we see, that everyone who heard something, recognized who spoke. Did you see that? Everybody recognized who spoke. It was God. It was an angel. Do you understand? Look at Peter too. Peter knew it was an angel. Look at Acts 10. So whenever you are not sure who is speaking, or get back up. Say you are hearing me. Just something simple for you to do. The moment you don't know who is talking, you are still saying, is he God? Is he angel? Or guys, is not God, is not, just back off. Hallelujah. Why? Because the way the believer works, he has that capacity to do. So the moment you begin to ask question, is he God? Is he not God? Or God, throw it away. Hope you are following me. Just throw it away. Even you begin to ask those funny questions, can this be God? Can this not be God? Just see, oh God, he is not God. Just leave it. Amen. Hope you are following that. Hallelujah. So don't get to that point and say, I'm just trying to know if it was God. See, Peter in Acts 10, verse 14, Peter knew it was not God. He knew it was an angel. Hope you are following that. Amen. He knew. He says, he saw in a vision of a good people. Who am I? Acts 10, right? And he saw in heaven open and a certain vessel descending, four corners, wearing a manner of four footed beast, cloth, verse 13, and there came a voice in my eyes, kill and eat. And he said, also, Lord, I have not eaten anything unclean. Yes, and so from that conversation, look at verse 15, say, what God has called clean, I mean, what God has cleansed. That call common. So automatically he knew he was an angel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you look at Peter's interpretation, explanation of it in chapter 11, you see, it's called that Peter knew it was not God. Hallelujah. So, Peter didn't doubt who spoke. Did Peter doubt about who spoke? Peter wasn't doubting who spoke. Did he doubt? He didn't doubt who spoke. But what did he doubt about? Look at verse 16. Verse 17. Doubted within himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. Jesus said, so it was not, the doubting was not who spoke to me, but what it meant. Did you see that? Okay, follow you. So the doubting was not who spoke to me. He knew it was not God. He knew it was an angel. Right? But
So the doubt was not about who spoke to him. The doubt was what? What was communicated, right? What it meant. So, hope you are following now. So the moment they heard the voice of God in verse 17. Look at that verse 17. Now when Peter doubted in himself, the vision should be, behold, men came from, look at verse 18. And he called. Okay, verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, this is that he knew it was the Spirit. Hope you are following that in verse 19. He knew it was the Spirit. Before that, he knew it was an angel. Hope you are following that. He knew. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What it meant is because visions work with discernment of spirit, with the discernment of spirit. You could discern from vision. You could discern who is speaking to you, even from vision, even from revelation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have something in my notes. When it comes, when it is the spirit of discernment, when it is the spirit of discernment, you would know who is speaking. Hallelujah. You would know who is speaking. Peter knew who was speaking. Hallelujah. If you don't know, you do what? Back off. If you don't know who is speaking, you do what? Back off. Look at Acts 12, verse 17. When he was in prison waiting to die, waiting to be killed. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shone in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and the chain fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, gird thyself and bind thy sandal. So he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and walked, and wist not that it was, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Did you see that? So he didn't doubt whether it was an angel. But what was he doubting? He doubted whether it was what, a vision or reality. He thought it was a vision. Do you understand me? So the doubting was not whether it was an angel or not. He knew it was an angel. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So where the doubt was whether it was a vision or real. But he later saw that it was real when he got out of the city. Hallelujah. So even in a sleep, you can know who is what or who is saying what. Hallelujah. The gift of the discernment or spirit was present even in the sleep. Even in the sleep. So that means the discernment of spirit is not for the prophet alone. It's not a prophet alone. Say, it's a prophet, no. Hallelujah. Paul knew who spoke to him on his way to Damascus when he asked, right? He heard the voice, right? And he knew who spoke, right? Jesus told him, I am Jesus, right? Aha. Look at Ananias. The Bible didn't tell us Ananias was a pastor. Well, he's just a brother. He might just be any brother, right? And he saw. And he could discern that it was the Spirit of God, right?